Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, September 21st, 2022. I'm on your host, Blessing Adeoye Jr., and I'm joined by, formerly of Android Central, Jennifer Locke. Jennifer, how's it going?
Pretty good. Thanks for inviting me on.
Thanks so much for coming through. Now, I need you to tell me about yourself, because, of course, Greg mentioned this morning there was a switcheroo he was supposed to host, but then he had a nanny situation, so he had to drop out. I had to come through, and I'm excited to be here because I get to learn about you. For people who don't know, who is Jennifer Locke?
Yeah, so I kind of started my career in 2015 as a freelance writer. I wrote for a website called ICXM. It doesn't exist anymore, but it was basically an Xbox fan site. Over the years, I eventually worked my way up towards Mobile Nations, which was a family of websites, Android Central, Windows Central, and iMore. I became the games editor for Android Central, and basically my job was to bolster our PlayStation coverage. And that's what I did for 4 years until now.
Heck yeah. So, like, can you tell me a little bit more about your time at Android Central? Because for folks who don't know, or if you somehow missed the last few episodes of KFGD, this week we're doing a guest week where we're bringing on folks from Fanbyte, we're bringing on folks like you from Android Central, because there's been a series of layoffs that have happened very recently on this side of the industry. And I think more people are more familiar, at least in our audience, with what's gone on at Fanbyte, because we've had people like, you know, Imran, and also like my roommate, Michael, who didn't get laid off but works at Fanbyte, right? Like, we have that Fanbyte connection at Kinda Funny, whereas I think it's rare for us to cross paths between Kinda Funny and folks at Windows Central or Android Central. So could you give kind of the pitch on what kind of site was Windows Central slash is Windows Central slash Android Central? And then also, what was some of the work you were doing there?
Yeah, so, I mean, to start it off, we are a few websites under Future PLC. They also own, like, GamesRadar, PC Gamer, stuff like that. We were purchased, I want to say, in 2019. So basically, I know Android Central is kind of a weird name to think about when you think of PlayStation, but it's mostly a tech website that does guides, reviews, news, editorials, stuff like that. Basically, your normal tech blog, I guess. So I would manage our game vertical on that. So I would manage our freelance team. I would create our content plan, reach out to PR for, you know, game codes or console codes, like early console units. Like, we had the PlayStation 5 early to review. So that was mostly my job. I also helped on Windows Central because we are like a family of websites. So I'd work with like Jez Corden and Matt Brown on Xbox stuff. I would eventually branch out from PlayStation, like, bolster our Android coverage, because obviously Android fits better with Android Central. But yeah, that's pretty much what I did as the games editor there.
I'm glad you mentioned the Android thing, because when you started off talking about how you cover PlayStation, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
The story number three, for folks who don't know, is like a big Android story. We're going to talk about the handheld that just announced. And I was like, here we go. We got something from Android Central. So when you started talking about PlayStation, I was like, oh no. I trusted you.
I'm well versed in Android as well. My job description kind of changed over the years. You know, I was initially brought on for PlayStation, and we continue to cover PlayStation, but obviously that's not what you think of when you hear Android Central. So I did kind of branch out and learn a lot about the Android gaming world.
Gotcha. Two things I want to point out slash shout out. First of all, I want to shout out your shirt. I like the shirt.
Thank you. It's Boba Fett.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's real. It's neat. Boba Fett. Yeah.
In my head, I'd registered it as just like flower design.
Yeah.
Because the colors, but that's actually dope as hell. Holy shit. So shout out to that. Also, shout out to, your name is Jennifer Locke. Have you ever considered suing Rooster Teeth? Because of course they have their show, Jen Locke. Are you even familiar with Jen Locke?
I am. People make this joke a lot, like, oh, Jen Locke, hey, you know that show? And I'm like, I was actually a very big Rooster Teeth fan growing up. You know, I followed Red versus Blue, the podcast, like, Achievement Hunter. I was a huge Achievement Hunter fan. And I still watch them all the time. So yes, people have definitely made that joke before.
Amazing. Question for you. How can people follow your work if they want to follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter at JenLocke95. It's JenLocke and then just the number 95. And that's my little dog up there, Pumpkin.
Amazing. And then also, Like, what is, I guess, what's the last week been like for you? I know it sucks being laid off and all that stuff. But then, like, have you considered or figured out, like, what the next steps for you are going to be? Like, do you know if you want to stay on the media side? Do you know if you want to go into something else? Like, have you even begun thinking about that stuff yet?
Yeah, I definitely have. And I would love to stay in games media because that's just where my heart lies with games. But at the same time, games media jobs are very few and far between and hard to come by. And I'm totally open to branching out to be a community manager or work in games PR or do, like, you know, editorial content management and stuff like that, as long as it's, you know, within the games industry, because that's something that I love. I grew up with it. That's what I've been doing my entire life. I don't want to leave that.
Amazing. Of course, if you are in the position to hire people in the games industry, GenLock95 is where you can go check out Jen on Twitter. Last question for you. Favorite game of all time?
Dishonored. I was thinking about this earlier. There's a few games I could go with, but I only have a Dishonored tattoo, and I only have one video game too, and it's tattoo, and it's that one.
Hell yeah. Dishonored or Dishonored 2?
Ooh, you know what? I would say the first one. I think that the second one improved in a lot of ways, but there's just something about the first one that I think was really special.
You got something against the Clockwork Mansion, I understand.
I love the Clockwork Mansion.
The Clockwork Mansion and the, I always forget the name of the Crack in the Slab, I think was the name of that other mission. Those are the two missions that, like, define that game for me.
Oh, yeah, you know, absolutely.
Like, those missions for sure elevated that game for me. I hope they make Dishonored 3 one day, even though at this point I don't have much faith because Deathloop is such a hit, and then also praised dope as hell. And they have, like, a bunch of other stuff they can do.
Yeah, Redfall's coming out. I'm excited for that one, too.
Oh, yeah. Would you then say Arkane is probably your favorite studio also?
Yes, hands down. Wow. I don't think they've made a bad game. I love Arkane.
You're a person of taste.
Yes, thank you.
Hell, yeah. Well, Jen, let's talk about today's stories, which include Twitch controversy heating up. Logitech announces their new gaming handheld and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when you get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, or bronze members or above, get to write in. And silver members or above, get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you. Do you like Bless Who? Kinda Funny Games Cast Trivia Post Show? Well, the poll is back open for the fan favorite game Kinda Feudy. You can go over to my Twitter, find the tweet, and fill out the prompts to help shape the answers on the show. Of course, if you listen to the Games Cast Post Show, you know exactly what Kinda Feudy is. Here's what I need from you. Because usually for the write-ins, we get like about like 1,300 answers for this thing. Last I checked, this thing went up yesterday morning. It's at around like 1,000. So if I can get a few more hundred of you to go over to my Twitter, find the tweet, click through the prompt, fill out the prompts. It's actually a really fun questionnaire to fill out. Usually people have a really good time filling this thing out. Go over there, do it. It helps out a lot with the show. And it allows us to have like vibrant, good-ass answers that piss off the rest of the hosts. Not because they're bad answers, but because they're bad at the game. So go do that for me. Though, I will say, don't fuck me on this. Because like some of y'all go in there and you guys like, you guys like to annoy me sometimes, right? And like just write nonsense answers sometimes. Like Greg, Tim, Andy, if you're listening to this, I need you to mute for the next 10 seconds. There's one question in there where I ask people, hey, you know, name a title of a Kirby game. And somebody wrote The Last of Us. And do you know what I did? I deleted all that person's answers. I'm not standing for that. All right? Treat it seriously. Treat it with respect. I want this game to be dope. I want it to be fun. I want it to be great. And so go do that to me. Again, Blessing Jr. on Twitter. Find the tweet. Fill it out. But then also, PS I Love You XOXO is recording today, and it's our God of War 2018 re-review. You can go over to patreon.com/kindafunnygames to get your write-ins read on the show. Then that episode will go up for everyone on Thursday. There's also a new Kinda Funny XCast up right now on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. They talk about whether or not PlayStation could get Call of Duty blocked from being an exclusive, so go check that out. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Fargo Brady. Today we're about to be by Shopify and MeUndies, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have seven stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one, Twitch cracks down on gambling streams after recent controversies. This comes from Ryan Leston at IGN. Twitch has banned the streaming of slots, roulette, and dice games that involve betting real money. A popular Twitch streamer has confessed to scamming his followers and fellow streamers out of around $300,000 to pay his gambling expenses, and this prompted users to call for Twitch to ban all gambling streams. Now, the company has responded by banning any streams that include slots, roulette, or dice games. The ban will take effect from October 18th, 2022. Quote, we'll be making a policy update on October 18th to prohibit streaming of gambling sites that include slots, roulette, or dice games that aren't licensed either in the U.S. or other jurisdictions that provide sufficient consumer protection, end quote, said an official statement. However, the bans are also likely to affect several other prominent streamers. Streamers XQC and Trainwreck both gained sponsorship deals from Stake.com to stream their own online gambling. While XQC has stepped up to help those scammed by its Slicker, of course, that is who originally confessed that they scammed a bunch of people, offering victims their money back along with help from Ludwig Ahrgren. He also retweeted a statement from Trainwreck, which attempts to shift the heat off the gambling sites. Quote, to be clear, the people scapegoating slots, BJ, and roulette, and not blaming the individual are the real problem, he said. Quote, with that said, the streamers and viewers who sell a false reality should be banned, he added. Quote, people who gatekeep giveaways through codes that require you to gamble should be banned. People who hide all losses and only show wins should be banned. Things like this are predatory, end quote. What these popular streamers will do after October 18th remains to be seen. Jen, did you get to follow this whole Twitch gambling saga as it was happening?
I did a little bit, and I think the announcement that they were banning gambling kind of came too late, in my opinion, because I saw a lot of people online saying, hey, why aren't they banning this? Why aren't they banning this? And I get that a statement like that, you know, has to come together and it takes time. But it is a predatory practice and it is dangerous. And I'm glad Twitch finally spoke up to do something about it. But, you know, we'll have to see what happens come October 18th.
Yeah, it's funny because this one broke last night and it's been going on for about the last week of people speaking up about this gambling situation, how people are getting scammed out of a lot of money, right? And people were very vocal about it. People like very big Twitch streamers were very vocal about it, right? Mm-hmm. The thing I saw was a video of quite a few of the biggest streamers of the platform being like, "Yo, we should strike and we should take off holiday." Right, because that's where Twitch makes most of this money. So let's take off holiday. That way, we can hit them where it hurts. Right, hit them in their wallets to make sure they know about this thing. Right, make sure they know that we're vocal about this and we mean business about it. So to see them respond and see them be very like clear about it. Right, hey, we're removing gambling from Twitch. We're banning it. We're gonna like abide by what you guys are asking for us. Seeing this last night, I was impressed. I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Like, they're doing the thing. It looks like the people won. And now, you know, you have no reason to be mad at Twitch. Not one reason whatsoever. Until a few hours later, in the middle of the night, Twitch released a statement about something else. And this is our story number two. Twitch is cutting how much its biggest streamers earn from subs. This comes from Jay Peters at The Verge. Twitch is reducing how much money it shares with some of its biggest streamers on the platform. Right now, the majority of partnered streamers receive a 50-50 revenue share on subscriptions to their channel. That means 50% of net revenue goes to Twitch, while 50% goes to the streamer themselves. However, Twitch has negotiated premium subscription terms with some bigger streamers that give them a 70-30 revenue split. And that split is what's going to change. Under the new policy, streamers with premium terms will keep 70% of their subscription revenue on the first $100,000 earned. But after that, the share will go down to a 50-50 split. The changes kick into effect on June 1st, 2023, and even then, only when a streamer's contract with Twitch is up for renewal, according to a blog post from Twitch president Dan Clancy. So, again, last night, they put out the good news. All right, gambling is done. Then in the middle of the night, they put out the bad news of, hey, we're not doing 70-30 anymore. Everybody's going to a 50-50 split. This is going to be the standard moving forward. Were you able to check out this as it was happening this morning?
I woke up and I was like, oh, that happened, because I, while I'm not a Twitch partner myself, I do follow a lot of Twitch streamers, and they were clearly not happy about this, and they have a right to be angry. Like, Twitch tried burying that news right after they got some good publicity last night, and it's not fair. I mean, Twitch is owned by Amazon. They make Amazon makes billions of dollars, and it's just kind of ridiculous that Twitch is going to shaft its streamers like that.
100%. Yeah, it's fascinating because there's a lot to dig into. You know, I've been lucky enough to work with and be friends with Andy Cortez, right? And Andy is one that, like, I've seen him try and fight for that better split on Twitch, right? Like, let alone, like, a lot of streamers on the platform trying to fight for that better split. Because, you know, 70-30, I would think, is a more standardized approach to things, right? Like, a lot of sponsorships, a lot of partnerships of this kind see more of a 70-30 split as opposed to a 50-50 split. And Twitch did put out a long blog post about it, right? Kind of trying to explain themselves. And reading through the blog post for me makes it even more interesting of a thing. So what I want to do is I want to hop into the blog post that Twitch put, but I want to hop in specifically into a section where they talk about why not the 70-30 split. All right, so stick with me here. The blog post reads like this. At the time of this posting, more than 22,000 of you have weighed in on User Voice asking us to move all streamers to 70-30 and to pay streamers faster. Let's chat about the latter part first. As you probably heard by now, we're in the middle of rolling out the largest change to payouts in years by cutting the payout threshold in half to $50. This is an important middle step that will help streamers put money in their pockets now while getting us closer to our goal of same-day payouts and lower thresholds. Investments like these are paying off for streamers. Products like Prime Subs, Community Gifting, Hype Train, and the Ads Incentive Program, to name a few, have driven an increase of 27% more streamer revenue per viewer hour every year over the last 5 years. This means the same viewer hour now earns you 3 times more money than it did 5 years ago, on average. Our investments into your monetization options have already and continue to put out more money into streamers' pockets than 20% more subs revenue share would have. Prime subs often get lost in the conversation when it comes to revenue share. For Prime subs, we pay streamers the same amount they'd receive for a regular subscription, even though it is included as an added benefit for their Prime subscription. Combined with other monetization products, Prime subs increase your effective revenue share by approximately 15% to about 65% total. This number varies by streamer size and location, but subscription revenue share is not the full picture on revenue share for streamers. Lastly, we have to talk about the cost of our service. Delivering high definition, low latency, always available live video to nearly every corner of the world is expensive. Using the published rates from Amazon Web Services Interactive Video Service, or IVS, which is essentially Twitch video, live video costs for a 100 CCU streamer who streams 200 hours a month are more than $1,000 per month. We don't typically talk about this because, frankly, you shouldn't have to think about it. We'd rather you focus on doing what you do best. But to fully answer the question of why not the 70-30 split, ignoring the high cost of delivering the Twitch service would have meant giving you an incomplete answer. Now, there's a lot in there, but the argument that they're making is that they've done so much in terms of services and features of the platform, right? Hype Train, Prime Subs, Community Gifting, yada, 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 to increase the overall revenue so much that their argument is that the 70-30 is worth less, right? It's like the 50-50 gets the job done in terms of the amount of money you're making overall because of the work that they've done over the years to make Twitch a better platform, which I don't buy, but I don't know. Jen, what's your take on this?
I mean, I'm kind of with you on that. I'm not going to pretend that I understand, like, all of the business decisions that went into that. And, you know, I respect that it takes money to run that platform. At the same time, that platform does not exist without the streamers. And I think people forget that streaming can be a very taxing, difficult career. And these people are sometimes sacrificing their health to do it. And they absolutely deserve that 70-30 split. Twitch makes more than enough money, I'm sure. If not Twitch, then Amazon. it just sounds ridiculous to me.
Yeah, and that's my thing, right? Like you bring in Amazon, and yeah, part of this blog post, they're talking about, hey, like, yeah, like using the publish rates from Amazon Web Services, like that costs a lot of money. And that makes sense until you think about the fact that Amazon owns Twitch, right?
Yeah.
And like you guys are getting a deal on this, right? You guys aren't paying as much as a completely third party platform using the same Amazon Web Services, right? And like, I don't know, when you take Twitch, when you combine it with Amazon, this bigger organization, right? This bigger corporation mm-hmm. is making all this money, one of the most profitable organizations in the world. And you look at this 50-50 split situation, it's like, y'all are really nickeling and diming for something you don't need to nickel and dime for, right? And the end result of this, I see, is people fleeing the platform. Like, I think this will mm-hmm. bring more people into YouTube, and I don't know, maybe people go to Facebook Gaming. That I doubt a little bit, but...
Yeah, we'll see.
I think this is very fascinating for the competition aspect of mm-hmm. Twitch, YouTube, and the entire like streaming wars. Because the more and more Twitch makes decisions like this, the more and more I think YouTube becomes enticing. And I'm fascinated to see a year from now, especially when these contracts start to go up in the 70-30 split and the 50-50 becomes more standardized between everybody. I'm curious to see where people go, how people decide, like, are you going to see now all of the biggest Twitch streamers move over to YouTube? Because you've already seen a big handful of them do mm-hmm. so already. I think that's the fascinating part of it.
Yeah, I can definitely see that happening. Because as you've said, a lot of Twitch streamers have made that move to YouTube. And YouTube is doing what they can to court the rest of them. You know, I think recently YouTube said it was going to start paying out for YouTube Shorts or something. I can't remember specifically. But you know, that's definitely an incentive to go to that platform.
Yeah. One thing I saw as I was, you know, looking through this story and reading what people had to say on Twitter, there is, one post from Ryan Wyatt, AKA Fwiz, who, was head of YouTube before he left. He put out his own response to this whole situation, which I find interesting from somebody who, again, was the head of YouTube, right? This is what he posted on Twitter today. I love Twitch despite running gaming at YouTube for almost 8 years. Twitch is where I first found my home as a streamer in 2010. Having said that, this is disheartening to take creator earnings in this fashion, and I'm hopeful they will get this right long term. For non-ads revenue, regardless of size, the creator should be getting a disproportionate amount. This shouldn't even be up for debate. Creators drive a disproportionate amount of work to grow non-ads revenue. They're doing the legwork to move these products, unlike selling ads against their content. 70-30 for every single dollar for all creators should be the expected norm on non-ads monetization products. Understanding that Twitch needs to generate and grow revenue, the real focus should be increasing viewership across the platform to scale ad dollars. I understand the pressure to grow revenue and maintain a positive P&L relative to infrastructure costs. I am certain their infrastructure costs are significant, despite even an Amazon discount. The other issue here is that meaningfully growing live watch time relative to VOD/short form is very hard to do. You need significant broadcast hours to do it, and there are not a lot of great categories outside of gaming and IRL to expand. Hence, growing revenue becomes challenging. You are forced to change monetization rev share, increase ads against live content, etc. You don't have a lot of levers to pull to grow revenue if you aren't scaling watch time substantially. This is the conundrum that live-only platforms will face. The best way for Twitch to grow monetization would be not to be short-sighted and take advantage of their live dominance by adjusting rev share, but rather leverage that dominance to grow non-live gaming viewership on the platform to help scale their ads business out. This would alleviate the unnecessary rev share changes that will drive creators to other platforms, as well as distribute the ad load balance on live content to better serve users. I'm hopeful for a better future, right? And I think, again, a lot of this is fascinating. A lot of this is interesting. Mm-hmm. There's like a lot to dig into because a lot of this is just pure business and streaming stuff.
Yeah.
But I do think that the idea that the 50-50 revenue split for a lot of people, right? What I think it could do is disincentivize people in terms of really driving those subs on Twitch.
Yeah.
Because you have people who are working real hard to make that stuff happen already, right? Like, Twitch as a platform, you know, they're not the ones that are necessarily... they do the hype training, they do all that stuff, right? But at the end of the day, it's on me as a host and as a Twitch streamer to really motivate my audience to sub to my platform. Right, to motivate them to support, motivate them to do to to donate, do all that stuff, right? Yep. A lot of that groundwork is on me. And I think that 50-50 does not represent that whatsoever. But then, yeah, I think the idea of Twitch needing to essentially go harder with the VODs, I think that too, right? Like, so many, when I Twitch stream, right, so many of my viewers watch VOD content, and it surprises me whenever I look back and look at the views, and I'm like, oh, y'all are really watching this after the fact? And it makes me feel guilty, because a lot of the time I'm playing licensed music, and that shit gets muted, and so people can actually watch it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, that has potential to be a huge part of the platform, and I think Twitch is dropping the ball by not going real hard on that and trying to make that a core feature of the website, right? You see so many streamers uploading VOD content to YouTube instead, because YouTube has that on lock. And I think that I'm with Wiz here that, like, there's ground to be gained doing that. And I think that'll be a better focus of their time, as opposed to implementing the 70-30, or sorry, the 50-50 split. But that's just me.
Yeah, no, I totally see what you're saying and what Fuzz was saying. I mean, I don't think Twitch is going about this right. And Twitch has made some, like, not great decisions recently. I think they stopped the ability for people to host other channels on their channel. It's just weird.
Yeah. Do you stream at all?
I don't. I just play on my, like, Xbox and PlayStation, and I usually just play single player games because I'm a loner, and that's what I like to do. But
I feel that. It's funny because, like, when I stream very casually, right? Like, I'm not I don't look at myself like Snowmake Mike on our team or Andy on our team, that, like, those guys are professional streamers. Like, they're doing it consistently and they're killing it. And, like, you know, Andy uploads his VOD content. Like, they go hard with it. Whereas, you know, I have like periods of streaming where all of a sudden I'm like, you know what, man, I ain't got nothing I'm doing this week. Let's stream every single day this week. That's been me for this last week, where, like, you know, I played Wolong Fallen Dynasty. I played a lot of God of War, because we're reviewing God of War today on First Love You. And it's like a nice passive way for me to enjoy a game. I think being able to talk to somebody while playing a game can sometimes make the experience more enjoyable. But I think it's fascinating to, like, do it and then, you know, get money through subs and all that stuff and go, oh, that's nice, right? And then, like, see, getting a taste of the people that, getting a taste of what the people experience that do it full time or do it with way more effort. I can understand, like, the appeal of, oh man, let me do this full time. Oh man, let me get that 70-30, right? Like,
I don't know.
Like, it's a fun thing to do for me in my free time. But yeah, I feel for people that had to, like, have this back and forth with Twitch as a company to figure out, like, how much money am I actually gonna be able to make next year off this thing?
Yeah, now, definitely.
Before we move on to our next news story, I want to let people know about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can go and get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Me Undies. We've all heard of gut instinct, but have you ever heard of butt instinct? It's when your butt tells you it wants new undies. Listen to your butt. Luckily, we work with Me Undies, makers of the most buttery, soft, and sustainable undies, bralettes, and socks that exist. You know that I have lived my life Me Undies head to toe for the majority of the last couple years. I'm just all in on Me Undies because they are absolutely the most comfortable clothes I've ever put on my body. Available in sizes extra small to 4XL. They have new colors and prints dropping weekly, so there's always something exciting to check out. You can try their free to join membership for free shipping on every order and exclusive perks like an item shipped to your door every month, secret sales, and early access to their newest stuff. MeUndies has a great offer for you guys out there. For any first-time purchasers, you get 20% off plus free shipping and returns. To get 20% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. That's MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. Shout out to Shopify for sponsoring this episode. Shopify powers our very own kindoffunny.com/store, our merch store. And we love how Shopify has the tools and resources that make it easy for any business to succeed, from down the street to around the globe. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business, so upstarts, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere. Shopify unlocks the opportunity of your business to more people every day, every 28 seconds. An entrepreneur like you makes their first sale on Shopify. Shopify powers millions of businesses from first sale to full scale. You can reach customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps. It's more than a store. Shopify grows with you. You can go to shopify.com/KFGames, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/KFGames right now. That's shopify.com/KFGames, all lowercase.
Story number three, Logitech has officially revealed their gaming handheld. This comes from Tom Warren at The Verge. Logitech is officially announcing its G Cloud gaming handheld today after a teaser and a leak last month. The Android-powered $349.99 handheld will arrive on October 17th with access to the Google Play Store, Xbox Cloud Gaming, and NVIDIA's GeForce Now service. While you'll be able to play Android mobile games, the focus is really on cloud gaming, and the handheld has been engineered this way to provide 12 hours of, or more of battery life. The cloud gaming handheld has a 7-inch 1080p IPS touchscreen with a 16:9 aspect ratio and 60 hertz refresh rate. The white handheld includes two offset analog thumbsticks, a D-pad, and Y, B, A, and X buttons. There's also four more buttons at the front, Logitech G Home, Menu, and a context menu button. Inside, Logitech is using a Qualcomm Snapdragon 720G processor, which is an octa-core CPU that runs up to 2.3 GHz. Logitech has also provided a micro SD card for expansion, but there's no 5G or SIM card support here, so you'll always need to be near Wi-Fi for cloud games. Logitech has worked with Microsoft and NVIDIA to integrate Xbox Cloud Gaming and NVIDIA's GeForce Now service into the handheld. Logitech has also partnered with Tencent on this handheld and has leaned on the Chinese company's expertise in software to help design the Android launcher. Logitech appears to be testing the waters by limiting the launch of the G Cloud gaming handheld to the US and Canada in October. To entice early adopters, there's a limited $299.99 pre-order offer ahead of the retail price of $349.99. This pricing is right between the Nintendo Switch at $300 and the Steam Deck at $400, so it could be a tough sell for what's mostly a cloud gaming device. Jen, have you been keeping up with this?
I have. I saw when it leaked, and now that it's official, I really don't see who it's for. Like, no offense to Logitech, but my cell phone can do all that. I respect that it has, you know, integrated Game Pass and NVIDIA GeForce Now, but that's a cell phone with a mobile game controller. Like,
see, that's been our read on it too, as it's been getting leaked and teased, is okay, let's see what the price is for this thing. Cause like,
yeah, sure.
For what is a streaming device with Android in there? Yeah, like, we're talking about my phone, right? Like, I mm-hmm. already have an Android device on me, right? Kevin has an Android device. But if I'm looking for something that is a handheld gaming thing,
yeah,
I got the Steam Deck, right? If I'm looking mm-hmm. to just stream, I got my Samsung Smart TV. I have a desktop, right? I was looking for price, and the price being $350 for this thing, for me, that's kind of the nail in the coffin. But I mm-hmm. will say, I saw there have been previews popping up. People have gotten to get their hands on it so far. Paris did a video that he uploaded to Twitter, and I think he's going to talk about it on XCast probably next week. But like, it seems cool. Like, it seems like a piece of hardware, right? Like,
yeah.
when Paris is holding it, I'm like, yeah, I would keep something like that around just to mm-hmm. like maybe play a game or two on it. But it's not something that I would pay $350 for, and it's not something that I would see myself using consistently.
No, I agree. Especially at the price point, like, I'll go get, you know, whatever the next Nintendo Switch is whenever it comes out, because I already bought the OLED. When I didn't need to, I had a perfectly fine Nintendo Switch, but I needed the OLED.
Is there like an audience you see like actually picking this up? You know, as somebody who's, again, on the Android side of things,
yeah,
who does pay attention to this stuff, does this appeal to anybody in your eyes?
It's really hard to say, because, I mean, cloud streaming does rely so much on your internet and your infrastructure there. So, you know, for people who maybe live out in the Midwest or they don't have great internet service, the cloud streaming isn't going to do much for them. I would have thought differently if it maybe had it played games natively, or I'm sure it does play games natively, but it's very much like trying to market itself as a cloud streaming service or a cloud streaming platform. So I honestly don't see where it's going to sell, but if people buy and pick it up and it seems neat, then more power to them. You know, I'm all for making games more accessible to people, and if that's the way to do it, okay.
100%. Now, I want to welcome to the show the one and only Paris Lilly, who again has gotten his hands on the device. Paris, how's it going?
I'm doing good. You know, I'm always listening. So when I heard you talking about this, I figured I'd give my 2 cents since I won't be able to talk about it on XCast until next week. I think you guys are 100% spot on when it comes to the price. That's going to be the thing that holds this back. When you compare it to the Steam Deck, which you can get for what, $50 more, whatever the case may be, right? It's not that much more expensive. Obviously, a Switch is comparatively priced to this. And this is a cloud device. And to the point, you can do this on your phone already. There's other devices that you can use that can already do this that you probably own. I mean, at its core, this Logitech cloud device, it's an Android tablet. That's exactly what it is. You know, you can download Android apps, you can do the whole thing. So you can replicate anything that you can do on this Logitech device on your Android phone, on your Android tablet. I like it. Don't get me wrong. I think the build quality on it is very good. It's very light to hold, so you won't get fatigued while you're trying to game on it. Game Pass works great on it. GeForce Now works great on it. Locally with Steam Link, work fine. I've had no issue playing any games. The screen being 7 inches and 1080p, it's fantastic. But it's $300. Do I really want to spend $300 on this? And that's going to be the big thing. I think as you see people with previews and reviews of this, they're going to enjoy the product for what it is. But I think the sticking point is going to be that price. I think if it came in at $199, it'd be a lot more receptive. But I think $300 is just a little too much.
I mean, yeah, you're talking about $300 to in this pre-order phase, right? But when it's actually out, it's going to be $350. And I had to Google to double check. The PS5 costs $400. Like,
yes,
you're talking about
yes,
50 more dollars for a PS5 that I would just, you know, bump that up and go that direction instead, right? You're talking about $50 less for a Nintendo Switch. I think that price is rough. But like, my question for you, Paris, as somebody who's gotten their hands on it, how long do you see yourself using this thing? Like, do you see yourself a few months from now still picking up the Logitech device to use it?
Well, it's like the one thing I said in that video I threw up on Twitter. It doesn't have a cell connection on it. So I'm basically limited to using this in the house, or if I'm at some place that has Wi-Fi. I already have a Steam Deck that does all of this. I have my mobile phone, which does all of this. So I don't know how practical this is truly going to be, other than I really do like the screen. The screen is really nice, but so is the Steam Deck one. You know what I mean? So the fact that I already own something that can do everything that this one does kind of limits me wanting to this be my default thing that I want to pick up for a handheld to play. Not to mention, I can't play local games on this as well, but I can on my Steam Deck. So again, that's another strike against it.
Gotcha. Well, of course, listen to XCast next week. I'm sure Paris will dive even deeper into his time with the G Cloud Gaming handheld. Paris, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Hell yeah. Let's hop into story number 4. 2K has been hacked. This comes from Jordan Midler at Video Games Chronicle. 2K has confirmed that its customer support services were compromised this week and has warned players to change their passwords. In a post on Twitter, the company said that it had, quote, become aware that an unauthorized third party illegally accessed the credentials of one of our vendors to the help desk platform that 2K uses to provide support to our customers, end quote. It then confirmed that the third party had sent malicious links to some players. 2K support recommends that any player who may have clicked on the link reset any passwords they have stored in a web browser. Quote, we will issue a notice when you can resume interacting with the official 2K help desk emails, and we'll also follow up with additional information as to how you can best protect yourself against any malicious activity, end quote. The 2K support system covered games like 2K's NBA, I don't know why they didn't say NBA 2K, and WWE titles as well as the Borderlands series. This sucks, man. And like, this is the latest in quite a few hacks that have happened very recently in the games industry. Like, this is pretty bad.
Yeah, and I know some people would look at the Rockstar and say, well, the Rockstar League and say, well, that doesn't affect me. And I think it's kind of shitty to think that way. But this one especially, this is affecting a lot of 2K players. And it's coming from an official source. Like, you think you can trust a 2K support email, but they got hacked. So it's really tough on a lot of people.
Yeah. No, so like you mentioned, right, a lot of people are in the range to be affected by this, right? When you're talking about NBA 2K, which a lot of people play, when you're talking about WWE 2K, which Greg Miller plays, and when you're talking about Borderlands, which a lot of people play, right?
Yeah.
Like, those, that's a large span of people right there that have the potential to either get fooled or get hacked or get their information accessed in this way.
Mm-hmm.
So that absolutely sucks. Fuck the hackers that have been ruining everybody's day the last week. It's very frustrating. What's been? Are you a GTA person?
I'm not a GTA person.
Have you been at all like looking into the GTA leak stuff or hack stuff? Like, do you have a read on that?
So I think it was Sunday morning, I woke up and I saw GTA 6 trending, and I'm like, oh, okay, what happened now? Because it trends now and again, just people are like, oh, when's it coming out? When's it coming out? And I saw like, oh shit, there are some videos that have leaked. And I saw that there were like 90 or whatever. I didn't go through and look through all of them, but I did see 2K, Rockstar's response to being essentially illegally hacked and the FBI involved. And that's really scary. I feel for the team at Rockstar, because I can't imagine just that happening to my work. And that sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. And dude, it's so messy. Like, I've not gotten to be on a piece of content since it's happened, but I've been listening and watching and reading so much. And my one takeaway is that, oh man, that person better be in hiding. Whoever, like, that person that leaked all that stuff, like, they better be trying to escape the country right now or something, because, oh man, is Rockstar going to make it rain down upon you?
Right? And I like, the balls to say, like, oh, Rockstar, get in contact with me. Like, contact my lawyer. Like, they're trying to hold him ransom for something. No, Rockstar's going to, like, sue you for everything you're worth.
1,000%. And so I'm curious to see how that develops. You know, the story yesterday was that the FBI is involved, because also, like, they also hacked Uber. And so now Uber and Rockstar are working together to take out this man or this person. And so we'll see if they get away with it. My prediction is no. My prediction is that they're going to see a jail sale.
Yeah.
So good luck to that person.
Yeah.
Of course, leaks often suck. But there's one leak that keeps on giving. All right, let's talk about the NVIDIA leak with story number 5. Another one of those games in the NVIDIA leak has been confirmed. This is Andy Robinson at Video Games Chronicle. A PC version of PlayStation's Sackboy: A Big Adventure has all but been confirmed after an image for the game was uploaded to Steam's database. A listing first appeared on Steam's database last October and was strongly suspected of being the Sumo-made platformer due to references to Marmalade, a codename first used in last year's huge leak of unannounced games on NVIDIA's GeForce Now. As logged by SteamDB, the same database listing has now added an icon hosted on Steam's own servers, which seemingly confirms the project is indeed Sackboy: A Big Adventure. Two questions for you, Jen. One, have you gotten to play Sackboy: A Big Adventure? And then also, like, have you gotten to check out the NVIDIA leak since it's been happening? Because, like, it's just a checkbox after checkbox of confirmed this thing exists. Kingdom Hearts 4 exists. Resident Evil 4 exists. Like, a bunch of games where we're like, there's no way that's in the works right now, all of them getting confirmed one by one.
Oh yeah, I mean, yes to both questions. I love platformers, and while I mostly play like 2D side-scrolling platformers, 3D platformers are still amazing, and I had a lot of fun with Sackboy. And I have seen the NVIDIA leak. I have been kind of keeping tabs on it. I think it's pretty much safe to say that everything on that list either is real or was real at one point, because obviously, you know, plans change, stuff gets canceled, or, you know, what have you. But yeah, man, that has to be one of the biggest, like, all-around leaks of the last few years.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And I'm looking at it right now, and I'm trying to... I'm just wondering, where is my Mirror's Edge RTX remaster? Portal got announced yesterday.
And so
we can't be far off from this Mirror's Edge thing happening. And Mirror's Edge, like, for those who don't know, Tekken 8 was on this thing too. Mirror's Edge was, or has been, like, my go-to tech check game, where whenever I get like a new Xbox, I always boot up Mirror's Edge. I did it when I first got my Xbox One. I was like, all right, let's see how Mirror's Edge runs on this thing, right? When I get a PC, I play Mirror's Edge. When I got my Xbox Series X, first game I downloaded was Mirror's Edge, just because I love Mirror's Edge so much, but it's also lovely to see it running slightly better every single time. And so once this RTX remaster finally gets confirmed, oh boy, oh boy. Also, like, Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3 HD were on this list. Mortal Kombat 12 is on this list. Injustice 3, Gods Will Fall is on this list.
Yep.
And again, like you say, right? Plans change, development's hard, games can get canceled, right? Like, yeah. At least my prediction is that not every single game on this list will end up coming out such getting confirmed. But I do think that this is a pretty safe bet as of, hey, all these, to some extent, are real. Where is Helldivers 2? Because there's no way they guessed that one. Like,
right. Right.
But yeah, Sackboy Big Adventure is dope as fuck. And so I'm glad that this is finally coming to PC. Funny enough, I booted this up last week just because I had the craving. I was like, man, let me boot up some Sackboy. That game still holds up. It's such a fun game that I think more people should check out. It was like one of my favorites from that launch lineup. And so shout out to Sackboy Big Adventure.
Oh yeah, I loved playing it. I had a lot of fun with it.
Did you ever do like the speedrun stuff?
I have not, no.
Did you complete like all the optional like speedrun stages? Because like I would get the notifications from people on my PlayStation page of like, hey, your friend just beat your score on this thing. And I was like, I wasn't even thinking about my score, but now now it's up there. Now I got to go back and play that thing. So I got into that a little bit, but I never dove deep into it.
I haven't done that, no. But now that you mentioned that, that kind of makes me want to go back into it and do it.
Dude, it's fun. I absolutely love that kind of stuff. Let's keep talking about PlayStation with story number 6. Sony XDev is working with Team Ninja on Rise of the Ronin. This is Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. Sony Interactive Entertainment's XDev studio has confirmed it's collaborating with Team Ninja on Rise of the Ronin. Announced last week, the action RPG will be released as a PS5 console exclusive in 2024. Team Ninja president and game director Fumihiko Yasuda has said the game is, quote, undoubtedly the most ambitious and challenging project the Japanese studio has undertaken, which may go some way to explaining Sony's involvement. Sony XDev works with external studios across the globe, providing production, management, design, and publishing support, among other services. Yasuda told the PlayStation blog last week that Sony has been supporting Team Ninja since it started work on the project 7 years ago. And senior XDev producer Jason Stewart tweeted on Monday, quote, privileged to work on an exciting title as Rise of the Ronin with Yasuda-san of Team Ninja Studio, Team Ninja game producer Masaaki Yamagiwa, and our own Sony XDev JP team. It's pretty cool. Like, this is one that popped yesterday that, like, at first I didn't pay too much of a mind of, but then I was like, wait, Sony first party is involved now in Rise of the Ronin, which means that PlayStation really is trying to take ownership. Like, if you look at the games that XDev has worked on in the past, it's all, like, stuff that is very closely integrated with PlayStation, right? Like, when you look through, it is Death Stranding Director's Cut, Returnal, Destruction All-Stars, Sackboy, Big Adventure, Dreams, Detroit Become Human, The Inpatient, Matterfall, and the list goes on. But it's usually stuff that is either Sony first party or very close to being first party, which I think, you know, take this as a sign of, oh, PlayStation now is investing deep into Team Ninja and specifically Rise of the Ronin. Like, this, what they want this to be a core game for them.
Yeah, I think that'll be interesting, especially because I think the audiences between Ghost of Tsushima and this game overlap a little bit. I know this game takes place later than Ghost of Tsushima, I believe 1863, if I remember correctly. Don't quote me. So it definitely has, you know, its own gameplay elements and features. I believe the trailer had like a little flying machine type thing he was using, or like some fake wings he was using, like Leonardo DiCaprio's machine in Assassin's Creed 2. And like, obviously there are going to be guns in it. So there's definitely some overlap there. And I think Sony's trying to capitalize on that, the popularity of Ghost of Tsushima. But I'm interested to see what Team Ninja does. I've never really played Nioh or Ninja Gaiden. I played Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball when I was a kid, and I probably shouldn't have.
Hell yeah.
Like, that's the only Dead or Alive I've ever played. But I mean, you know, I'm interested in seeing what this is.
If I can put on my tinfoil hat for a second, right, and get into theorization on what Sony might be up to and their plans and all that stuff, right? Team Ninja has been putting out Nioh games exclusively on PlayStation for a minute, right? And like Rise mm-hmm. of Ronin is another, you know, Team Ninja game. Wolong Fallen Dynasty is in there too. Even though I don't think Wolong is exclusive to PlayStation, but it's another mm-hmm. Team Ninja game that like is of that same ilk. I wonder if like they're trying to essentially like court them in a way where it's like, yo, let's either continue to get these games exclusive mm-hmm. on the platform or see if we can work out a first party situation here, yeah. right? Like, I don't know about buying Team Ninja because I don't know Team Ninja's status, but we all know that these like Souls-like action games have been killing it for a decade now, right? And they're yep. becoming more and more popularized. They're becoming more and more appreciated. Elden Ring is selling like hotcakes. Like, Elden Ring is one of the best-selling games of the year, if not yep. the best-selling game of the year right now. I wonder if PlayStation's like, yo, we gotta own somebody who can do that. And Team Ninja, I think, has been doing their thing. I know people who love Neo. Rise of Ronin has been worked on for a while now. I would think that by the time that comes out, that is going to be a very quality, very like high-tier Team Ninja game. I would mm-hmm. hope, fingers crossed. But even for me, I played the Wolong Fallen Dynasty demo this weekend, and that was a dope demo. That's a dope video game right there. It was so dope that I went and I downloaded Neo 2, and now I'm ready yeah. to play Neo 2 at some point. But like, there's quality there that I think, you know, might not be comparable in terms of how the audience perceives it to something like From Software, but I do think, sure. you know, they're in the ballpark of, but people appreciate this. Like, people like this. People dig what Team Ninja has to do. I wonder if there's something there. At the very least, obviously they're trying to get exclusives from them. So Sony sees value in what Team Ninja does. And so.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a fair assessment, especially with Microsoft buying studios left and right.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Sony kind of has to keep up. And we kind of saw that with the Bungie acquisition. I mean, that was huge for them. And I know that's not something that you would immediately think that they would do, because Bungie's more of a live service, you know, multiplayer company. And Sony historically puts a lot of marketing on their single player, you know, cinematic experiences. So I think they're definitely trying to court some more developers and see what they can do there.
1000%. Let's round out the Roper Report with story number 7. Ted Lasso and AFC Richmond officially have been announced for FIFA 23. This is Ryan Leston at IGN. You'll be able to select Jason Sudeikis' beloved Ted Lasso character as a usable manager in career mode, and AFC Richmond will be playable in career mode, kickoff, online friendlies, and online seasons. EA adds that, quote, a number of AFC Richmond items, including kits, Tifos, I don't know what those are, manager items, and other content will also be available to unlock across FIFA Ultimate Team and pro clubs where applicable, end quote. As you'd expect, Richmond won't be a part of the Premier League in kickoff, online friendlies, and online seasons, and will instead be located in the rest of the world section. Players Roy Kent, Jamie Tartt, Sam Obisanya, and Danny Rojas will all be in the squad, and fictional stadium Nelson Road will also be part of the game. I fucking love this. As somebody who I have a history of playing a lot of FIFA. I haven't played mm-hmm. a lot of FIFA as of late, but like, I used to love FIFA back in the day. But also, I love Ted Lasso. If you've not watched Ted Lasso out there, go watch Ted Lasso. Jen, have you seen Ted Lasso?
I have not. And
you're missing out, Jen.
Everyone tells me I have to watch it. There are a lot of shows I have to catch up on. I have not seen Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso needs to shoot up that list.
Okay.
This is one of the best comedies I've seen in years. It's great. It's great. But yeah, no, this is fucking awesome. And I want to give a shout out. We don't have time to play it, but Janet Garcia, like a year ago, essentially predicted this. She put the clip up on Twitter of her talking about how like they need to add some sort of like Ted Lasso thing to FIFA. And now it's here. And I love it. My one thing is that their stats better be shit. I don't want to see. I don't want to see these characters having 99s. They better be in the 60s or below. And except for Danny Rojas. Danny Rojas, his stats can be pretty good. Everybody else better suck on this team. Like that's where I'm at with the stats situation on this one. But I'm excited for this.
Roy Kent can be at like a 7.5.
Roy Kent, he's old though. Like he's old. Like,
well, that's why I dropped down. He used to be a 10. You know, he used to be great.
He used to be
a solid 8. Maybe 6.5 is right. Maybe 6.5.
Like 6.5, I'll put Roy Kent at because of old age. God, I love Roy Kent. I'm gonna have to rewatch Ted Lasso now.
Me too.
Let's watch Ted Lasso. Let's do a watch along. Let's rent out Tim Steeter.
I'm in.
Let's fucking rent
out Tim Steeter. I'll just go kick him out. You know what I mean? I'll sneak in.
Dude, sneak in, kick him out, bro. Let's get cool, Reagan Wall too. Jen, I can't wait. Yeah. to play as AFC Richmond in the next FIFA game, but the release of FIFA is just so far away. I don't think it is. I think it's around the corner. But if I want to know what's coming out to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Out today, we got Xbox Elite Wireless Controller Series 2 Core, that is the white version. We got Gundam Evolution for PC, Squad 51 versus the Flying Saucers for PC, The Outbound Ghost for PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and Switch, and then God of Rifts launches in 1.0 on Steam today with support for MetaQuest and Rift. New dates for you, the Nintendo 3DS and Wii U image share services will be discontinued on October 25th. Picross S8 is coming September 29th to the Nintendo eShop, and then Wizorb is coming to Switch and eShop, or the Switch eShop, on October 6th. We got one deal of the day for you. This comes from Wario64. God Eater 3 is $8.99 on the US eShop. Now, it's time for kindafunny.com/you're wrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Let's see here. Scooty Puff says, I think it's worth clearing up. Twitch does not get free or specially discounted services from AWS. Twitch is a business under the Amazon umbrella. Twitch has to buy it from AWS, just like the Amazon.com store has to buy services from AWS and IMDb and all other businesses that Amazon owns. That's a good, mm-hmm. You're wrong. Mm-hmm. Yep. Kevin also mentioned that during our ad break, but I didn't have time to correct it, so I appreciate that. Somebody, Nano's writing in, said PlayStation leaked Helldivers 2 footage. It's real. I mean, we know it's real because it's in that thing. Nano says Wolong isn't console exclusive. It's coming Xbox day one on Game Pass. Thank you for that. You know, I think we got that right, but still, thank you for that. Actually, that was in the Xbox thing, so that makes sense. It's not a PlayStation exclusive. Let's see. Bander SN says, Jen said that Rise of the Ronin took place a little after Ghost of Tsushima time period wise. She was right that Ronin takes place in the late 1800s. Ghost of Tsushima takes place in the late 1200s, about 600 years before Ronin. So yes, earlier. Hell yeah.
Nailed it.
And then one more from Nano. Nano says, don't you dare insult Sam Obisanya like that, bless. He's the best player on AFC Richmond. Is he though? Is he? Let's be real here. All right, I love it. I love Sam Obisanya. He's one of my favorite characters. He's my Nigerian brother. But let's be real. Every player on that team fucking sucks, except for my guy Daniel Rojas.
How dare you?
Am I wrong? Did we not finish season one here?
They got three good players. Took time to build them up.
They're getting there. Maybe by season three we'll get in a place where AFC.
Just like Jamie's good too, right? Like, he just doesn't play well with others.
But that means you're not good. If you're not a good teammate. And can't pass.
Well, yeah, but
like,
he's learned.
Well, we'll see next season.
I can't wait.
Tomorrow's, I can't wait for it either. Tomorrow's host for Kinda Funny Games Daily are me and Funke Joseph, formerly of Fanbyte. If you're watching this live on YouTube right now, over on Twitch after this is Warzone with Mike, Andy, and Nick. Jen, before we sign off though, one, thank you so much for joining me. This has been awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
And then also, again, for people who want to follow your work, where can people find you?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at genlock95, genlocke, and the number is 95.
Hell yeah. Go follow Jen. Show Jen some support. Show Jen some love. And then also hire Jen. All right?
Please.
Jen does great work over at Android Central. So please go do that. Of course, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindafunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.